Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, Sun Belt Conference Media Days are this week. We'll talk about that. Coach Butch Jones and a couple of A-State football players headed to New Orleans. Big experience there. Of course, all conference teams being named as well. But speaking of football, excited to be joined by our special guest today. It's the offensive line coach for the Red Wolves. Welcome in, Andy Kwan. How you doing, coach?
Doing phenomenal. I appreciate you guys having me over. And it's funny, Jerry Scott texted me when I was in the Virgin Islands last week and asked if I could do a podcast. And I looked at my wife. I'm like, man, I wonder if Jerry texted the right guy. You know, they usually put the O-line coaches in the bag. So I appreciate you guys having me today.
Thanks for answering that text. Hell, I would have answered it if somebody texted me when I was at the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, it was good. I actually had no service, but Jerry's been great. But yeah, I'm just glad to be here and I'm really thankful to be here with you guys today.
Going into year four here at A-State, third season as the O-line coach, but you've been here from the start since Coach Jones got here before that 2021 season. I want to know, how different is it walking into the building now than what it was 4 years ago when he got here?
I'll start with the team first. I think we have a lot of guys in our team that understand our cultures and our values that we believe in. And it's not just the football aspect of it, but Coach talks about all the time about how to be a professional and, you know, how to take notes, how to sit in your chair and all that. And that's been the great thing. And I've seen a lot of guys stepping up and leading and taking ownership of certain things. And I think, as we all know, really good football teams are player led. And that's what I've been really pleased of. And just watching some of the workouts and how guys are holding guys accountable, like Charge doing a great job leading, Makai Butler, McKeelan, Jacob. I mean, there's so many other guys, Jalen Reiner. So they've done a really good job of that. And then for me professionally, I've grown a lot since I've been at Arkansas State. Coach Jones talks about this all the time, but when you're a young coach, there's certain mistakes that you make, because obviously I've never had experience around my own room. And as I get older and as I've got more experience coaching, I've learned the things that works at Arkansas State that probably doesn't need at Alabama or whatever it is. So it's been good. And the plan is, overall as a team, is to continue to improve. And we have a standard, and it's to meet that standard every day.
What's the biggest way you've improved? You say you're a young coach. There's some trial and error stuff. What's the top thing you've learned or changed, or what's the biggest way you've improved?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I had to change was, there's certain things from a technique standpoint that you can do at a place like Alabama, because those guys are just natural athletes. And not saying that we're not athletic, but I had to change and evolve and talk to different coaches and different mentors and see, okay, what works and what doesn't. And I think that's where I was able to grow. I think the other thing too, I think as coaches, we get really caught up in the aspect of technique and football. And the one thing that I was able to learn throughout, you know, again, just really in the summer, is talk to O-line coaches that are in the SEC, Georgia, Tennessee, and all those guys, and I'll get ideas. And, you know, the one thing that we have implied last year was really teaching the mentality of the game. You know, and it's not just about blocking a front or structure, but really teaching the mentality of, you know, we use the word strike them. I mean, obviously we talk about 4-6 ADB. There's different parts of it. So that's where I've grown as a coach.
So you learned not everybody's a first rounder.
No doubt. But that's I'm trying to work on that. And I think we got some guys that could do it. So we got to keep going.
All right. I want to get back into the football here in a few minutes, but I do want to tell your story a little bit, let you tell your story. You were born in Seoul, South Korea.
I was.
What's your given name?
So my Korean name is Nam Kyu Kwan. So in Korea, you start with a last name first. It's really Kwan Nam Kyu. So that was my name. And so my dad used to work for a company called LG. And he was a big-time refrigerator distributor. So I was born in Korea, and then I was there for like 3 years. And we actually lived in Singapore for another 3 years, which is where my sister was born. Okay. Went back to Korea, was there for another 3 years, and then we moved to Mexico. in Monterrey. So I was in Mexico for 3 years. And then after that, I went to Colombia in South America, in Bogota. So I was there for a year. And then we decided to come to the States and in Atlanta.
How old were you?
So when I came to the States, I was maybe 13 years old, but I was in Mexico from first grade to third grade. And I was in Colombia when I was in the fourth or fifth grade. I can't really remember, but I've been around a lot of different places. And you know, obviously, the great thing that at that time at a young age was really hard for me because I didn't, you know, you got your friends and you're comfortable there and all that. And I think the one thing that now looking at it, that was a huge blessing for me because I understand different cultures. I understand how to adapt to different, you know, environments and all that. So it's been great. So I'm trilingual.
All right. So that was my next question. So Korean, Mexican, and English.
Yeah, basically.
So Mexican, Spanish.
Yeah, Spanish.
You dummy.
No, it's all good. Yeah, so Spanish, and I still can use a little bit of it. I can understand it, but I'm starting to forget. So, like, you know, I'm a huge soccer fan. So, you know, the Euro Cup was on and the Copa America was on. So when I will watch those games during vacation, I'll watch it in Spanish.
Yeah.
So I can, again, just kind of go back to my memories of learning that, knowing that language.
So you gave the story of your given name and that. So when and where does this become Andy Kwan?
I asked my mom about this, like, why Andy? And I think they just picked it. I always thought, my dad used to make jokes about this, but so I was a huge Toy Story.
Yeah.
I love every single Toy Story movie possible. And there's a character named Andy.
Right.
So that's what my dad used to say, and I actually believe this. So I said that about, you know, from third grade to fifth grade, and then come to find out that my dad was just joking with me.
So
you're just glad he didn't call you Buzz Kwan.
Yeah,
Woody.
Buzz. I'm just glad. I'm glad it's Andy, though.
Yeah.
So. All right. So you get to the United States when you're 13. You're living in the Atlanta area.
Mm-hmm.
When does your interest in football come along?
Here's the thing about just, you know, family cultures, you know. The biggest thing was is I played every sport. I played soccer, basketball, baseball. But football is a sport that is not known in the Asian community, especially in that continent over there. So I had to convince my parents that I want to play. And what ended up happening was I'm going to give a shout out to my high school coach because he's going to watch this. He's going to listen to this. His name is Byron Shells. He saw me in the lunchroom and said, you need to play football. And I was trying to convince my parents that I'll be fine playing football. I'm not going to get hurt. And it really took about a month to really convince them. I mean, it's to the point where my high school head coach, Bob Spire, had to go to my mom's house and tell him that he can play football. You know, ever since then, I mean, it's been a huge blessing. And we talk about that all the time with my parents when I go back home. And, you know, how huge it was a blessing for me to play football. And now I'm coaching. And my mom will always say that she never thought that I would be doing this when I was born. So it's been good. But I was not a good player at first. Now, I actually played defensive end. You know, usually when you're not a good defensive end, they move you to offensive line. So they move you to offensive line, you know, my junior year. So
they pick you out of the lunchroom. I'm guessing they're just basing that on size.
Yeah.
Where'd the size come from?
So I don't know. I really don't. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have the size now. I'm only like 6'1" and a half. You know, as you guys can see our offensive line, you know, I don't recruit guys under 6'2". So, and I joke about that all the time with the guys, but I don't know. But I'm very thankful that I did. And I'm hoping that my son is about 6'6", future left tackle, 2042 NFL draft. So,
all right. So you start playing in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that takes you to Georgia Southern.
Yep.
You were there at an interesting time. And look, I'm guessing while you're there, you're still developing because mm-hmm. you just started playing in high school and
yep.
didn't play much your first 2 years, mm-hmm. but your last 2 years turned into the best center in the conference. You were all conference your final 2 years at Georgia Southern. And another kind of cool thing about that was you were there when that school was transitioning to the Sun Belt Conference. So what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience for me. And so I got signed by the Jeff Munkin staff, who he's now the head coach at West Point. And, you know, back then, Coach Munkin, I mean, Georgia Southern's known for running the triple option. And that's what I got recruited to. And, you know, when Coach Munkin left to take the job at West Point, that's when, you know, Coach Willie Fritz came in. He's now the head coach at Houston. And, you know, we changed a little bit of the offense and went more of a zone read, you know, triple option offense, and which would fit me, and it was good. And obviously my last year I finished with Tyson Summers, and it was good for me at the time to really understand how football works and understanding that, you know, we tell our players all the time, trust the process, is be ready when that opportunity comes. And I was, just like you said, I was not ready to play early, but I still remember when we, so I think my first year we were in the FCS, we're in the SoCon, and we beat Florida, and we made that transition to the Sun Belt that year. And just think the biggest thing that I still remember from those days is how tough we were, how connected we were, and we had a chip on our shoulder. And I believe that first year we won the conference by beating Louisiana Monroe at home. And that was a cool experience for me to look at as a young guy. And when the guys in front of me kind of graduated, I kind of moved in their role and tried to do a good job. But I'm glad you bring up the all-conference stuff, because I tell my offensive line group here that don't ever forget that I was two-time all-conference.
How much did that suck, though? In 2014, you guys are transitioning. You go 8-0 in the league and no bowl.
Yeah, and I think we did a really good job of understanding that. And the cool thing was we were able to win the conference championship, and which was great. And then the year after that, we ended up playing in the, I think it was the GoDaddy Bowl in Mobile, and play against Bowling Green. So it was good. I think we had really good leaders that kind of instilled that to the young guys and the entire team. So it was good.
So off topic a little bit, but before we get too far away from Georgia Southern, up until very recently, they were pretty married to a style of play. And without fail, coaches, you guys, will complain for weeks leading up to time we're in the middle of a season. You have to get ready to play a team that runs the option. So if it's such a pain in the rear, why don't more people run the option?
So we had this conversation before with my GA, because he also wanted Georgia Southern. And I think the biggest reason why people are kind of going away from that offense is because, you know, football starts in the high school ranks. Right. And there's some teams that run the option, but most of the coaches and most of the programs, there's more teams that I can tell you that probably run the spread, you know, the pro style offense. So I think that's one of the things. The other things too is, you know, there's new rules now of cutting out in the perimeter and all that, which that's important in that offense. But I can tell you this, you are right. Like, that offense is hard to prepare for, because the biggest thing is the scout team's got to get that look for the defense. Well, the scout team guys don't know what option football is. So I still remember when I interviewed at Alabama and I sat with Coach Saban, and it was a 5-minute conversation, and he was talking about, he saw my resume, he knew that I was at Georgia Southern, and he talked about that game for about the entire time of my whole interview, about how hard it was and all that. And I still remember that year we played the Citadel. My first year at Bama, we played Citadel. Obviously Citadel runs triple option, and the coolest thing was is they brought me in to the defensive staff room, and Coach Saban was like, all right, tell me the issues that you had up front. What gives you conflict as an offensive line? So that was one of the cool moments.
We're talking about your playing career, and we're talking about how good Georgia Southern was back then, those teams that you played on. I guess your first trip to Jonesboro, though, was in 2016. We had a freshman receiver named Omar Bayless that caught his first pass that night, and he caught a whole lot more after that. But it happened to come with 7 seconds to go in the back corner of the end zone, and A-State won 27-26. I think we were 0-4 going into that game, and ended up winning the conference that season. But that's kind of what started it. What do you remember about that game? Is that the moment?
Well, what I do remember, and just, you know, I was going through my Facebook pictures, and, you know, I still have my playing days, and there's, like, pictures of me at Arkansas State and Centennial Bank and going against Waylon Robertson.
Well, that dude was a beast.
Yeah, he's a good player now. And yeah, so I still remember that game, and, you know, obviously we weren't, you know, at that time, you know, we weren't able to pull it out and win, but that was a great play by Omar Bayless. And, you know, that was, you know, anytime you lose a game in those type of scenarios, obviously it's, you're not going to be happy. But I still remember that game, and glad Arkansas State won. And I can say that now because I'm coaching Arkansas State.
Yes, you can now.
So.
All right, so we asked about where the name came from. We've asked about where the size came from. So before we get too far away, I do need to ask about this era, where the dance moves came from.
So I don't know where it happened. I have no idea. There's so many dances that happened at that, you know, throughout my college time. And obviously, you know, memories that I still have at Georgia Southern was a locker room. And, you know, we'll dance after we win and all that. So that's where it kind of started. And like, it's crazy now. So that our players, they have it. I don't know how they know it. I think it's Coach Jones that's sending my video, the Running Man Challenge. And there's like a GIF also. So he sometimes sends it out. And Jacob Bayer came to me like a couple months ago and he was like, oh, look, it's you. And I was like, all right, turn that off. So a lot
so
of guys.
So the Running Man was your go-to?
Yeah, well, I had a lot of dances now, but I still remember that Running Man Challenge. It was spring practice, and it was like the last day, and that's when it kind of started. And Coach Rico Zachary, who's now the defensive ends coach at ECU, asked me to do it. And the cool thing was after practice, like my phone is blown up now. I mean, it is blown up, and I'm like, what happened? What's going on? And, you know, I go on Facebook and, you know, all these accounts, and my video was going a little bit viral. I still say to everyone that I got 3 million views. And the cool thing for me was the Ellen Show, you know, had the people that invented the Running Man Challenge, and they put a clip on, and my clip was on there. So that was the cool part for me. So, but no more dance moves for me now.
Is that already done, or have you just officially announced your retirement here?
No,
that's,
I retired.
That's breaking news.
I got retired. You know, when I got married, everybody, all my players were, and all my former teammates were there, and they asked me to dance, and I'm like, I ain't doing that.
Not even at the reception?
No. I just danced with my wife. They played all these songs, and they wanted me to dance, and I'm like, I ain't doing that.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Andy Kwan here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. When did you decide you wanted to be a coach?
I made that mindset and decision, I want to be a coach, I think my junior year at Georgia Southern. And the reason why I coach, and I tell this to players and recruits all the time, is to me the definition of coaching is to create change. And when I first got to Georgia Southern my first 2 years, you know, I was away from home, right? And football was a little bit different. I think I kind of lost the love of the game. And I still remember this, my college O-line coach, Alex Atkins, who's now the offensive coordinator of Florida State, he brought me in after spring and we had our exit meeting. And he made a statement to me and said, if you don't improve, you're not going to be here. Not only did he tell me that, but he told me the things that I had to do in order to be successful and become a starter. You know, he told me that I had to fall in love with the game more, obviously, since I was a little bit more of an undersized center. And I think that's where I really grew my love for the game and just kind of went on. And playing center, you have to be a coach. You are the coach on the field.
Yeah.
And I just kind of fell in love with the game even more. And, you know, obviously I got into coaching and, you know, it's been a huge blessing for me.
A grad assistant at Akron in 2017.
Yeah.
And then you went to Alabama. You were there for 3 years, yep, from 2018 to 2020.
Yep.
You kind of referenced the conversations early on with Coach Saban, but how did that opportunity come about, and just how much did you learn in those 3 years at Alabama?
I still to this day tell myself and just all the young coaches that are still with us right now as GAs, and you know, I don't know how it happened. I really don't. And what happened was, is the part of the reason why I took the Akron job in Ohio is I made a decision for myself to leave the South and go somewhere completely different to see if I really wanted to coach. And I went to Akron. I got there literally the day before training camp, made $300 a month, had the best time of my life. And I was there for 6 months, and you know, I had a college O-line coach that I played for that made a call to Brent Key, who's now the head coach at Georgia Tech. He was an O-line coach, and that's the first guy I worked for. And it was a long process with that whole Bama interview and all that. It just happened where I texted him. I said, hey, coach, I'm going to be back home for spring break. Is it okay if I come see you? So I was pretty aggressive that I wanted to at least interview. And I got there, and I think at that time I was 23 years old. And I got there, and I just tried to do a very good job in the interview and all that, and that was good. And so obviously I'm fortunate to get that job. And I learned so many things at Alabama. And I think, you know, Coach Jones talks about this all the time because he has proven record, and we call it a fact check, of how many coaches he's developed and where those coaches are now. And when I was there, I had a pleasure of learning from so many different coaches, former head coaches, coordinators, Coach Saban. I had a chance to learn everything, and I was a sponge. And, you know, I listened more than I talked, to be honest with you. And I think the number one thing that I told myself when I took that job is, as a graduate assistant, what usually happens is you actually end up becoming the guy you work for. And I told myself that I'm going to be myself no matter what. And it's my job to listen as much as information I can and see what fits me. And that's what I learned at Alabama. And again, I'm very fortunate and thankful for that opportunity. And I'm not one of those guys that want to go to coach and, hey, coach, I'm leaving or I'm taking another job. But I still remember our first team meeting here at Arkansas State. I never had a chance to tell Coach Saban thank you or basically tell him that I'm going to Arkansas State. And obviously he knew that that was going to happen because of the relationship that him and Coach Jones had. And I still remember I got a phone call. It says, basically it's unknown. What it comes up, and I missed a call. I'm like, and then I get a voicemail, 4-minute voicemail, and I called them, and that was a cool moment. So I still have his number. So I actually texted him about a month ago just to see if he, because now people say that he can text. So I texted him, and he actually texted me back. So he still has my number, and he can text. So that's cool.
That's cool. You're in his phone.
Yeah. So
obviously your time there overlaps with Coach Jones' time there. But as you said, that place is full of dudes. You've rattled off as the head coach here and the head coach there. So what was it about Coach Jones, either about what you guys did together there or, like, what about him? Of all the dudes in that building kind of made it to where you're part of his coaching tree.
Yeah, I think the number one thing for me was when Coach Jones got there, and obviously he had a lot of big responsibilities for Alabama, and Coach Saban depended so much on him. And the one thing I appreciate about Coach Jones, and you got to understand, like, that's my first year here. I know who Butch Jones is, right? And he always made time to develop me. Always talk to me about the coaching profession, what I got to do better, right? How to be a good, hopefully one day a husband and a father. And that's what I appreciate about Coach Jones, was that he always made time for guys like me and other guys that are student assistants. And he always pushed us to be really good coaches. And he always gave us the little tidbits of how to be successful in this profession. So I think he was the first one on that staff that year that got a head coaching job. And I still remember the whole thing of how it happened. Coach Jones looked at me. I think we were getting ready to play Florida for the SEC championship game. And he said, hey, you know, this is probably going to happen. You're coming with me no matter what. I said, all right, cool, coach. We're rolling. And then something happened. We were playing in a game, and it was like third quarter. It was like in the second half. And Coach Jones walks by me and says, you ready? You ready to go? We're going to Arkansas State. You ready? I was like, what are you talking about? We in the middle of the game. I was confused. I was like, you know, we're in the middle of the game. And still remember when we, you know, usually when you get on that flight to go back, you know, all the coaches are there. And
sure,
I didn't see Coach Jones on that plane. So I'm like, all right, looks like I'm going to Arkansas State. And I'm very grateful that Coach Jones, you know, obviously he trusted me enough to bring me here. So,
well, and just being around him as much as we have, he's said many, many things praising you, certainly enjoys having you on his staff. But you get here in 2021, we talked about that, just how much it's changed inside that building. First year, you come in, you're coaching the tight ends, you move to the offensive line the following year in 2022, and obviously that's the position group that you are most involved with from your time as a player. But you knew that group was in serious need, needed to get much bigger, much stronger. So how do you go about doing that?
I think the number one thing was that year was, you know, I had to evaluate and see, okay, what do we need? And I think the number one thing that, you know, I truly believe this in the line of scrimmage, big people beat up little people. So we had to improve our size. And I believe that even when I was coaching tight ends, I was very heavily involved in recruiting offensive linemen. The philosophy that Coach Jones has, it's not about building a team, but it's about building a program. So I think our first year, we took like six high school offensive linemen. Those guys, that 2022 year when I became the O-line coach, were guys that traveled and had to be ready to play, mm-hmm. although they weren't ready to play. And now you look at it now and just kind of where we are, we had to go through that to get to, I guess, where we're at now. And we still have a long way to go right now. But those guys are now starters for us, and they got tremendous experience. But we had to get more size and more length. Also, the personality aspect of guys who love football and guys who are tough. So it's been good, and we're going to continue to recruit the high school ranks and obviously supplement through the portal.
So, I mean, obviously you have a great reputation as a recruiter, which meant certainly that was built on your ability to go in and form relationships. How's that challenged in the era of NIL? Because people might not have heard of a lot of the guys that start on their favorite team on the offensive mm-hmm. line, but they're a hot commodity in that market. Mm-hmm. So how has recruiting offensive linemen changed over the last year, 18 months?
Yeah, the number one thing when it comes to transfers and you know, even high school kids, what I like to do before recruiting is I try to evaluate the kid's personality. If NIL is the number one reason why you're here, that kid is going to ask for NIL at some point again and again and again. So what we try to do as a staff is we talk about what Arkansas State can do for you. What can Coach Butch Jones do for you? And those are the things we talk about. And obviously when those things come up, we got to handle it and all that. But I think the one thing that we've done a really good job since we've been here with the transfer kids is I always believe this. The number one thing that I look into when it comes to transfer kids, because there's about 18,000 kids in the portal. The number one thing is the check mark that I have is size. They got to have the length and the size. Number two, to me, is a personality. Number three is football. So we've got a lot of kids that fit that and guys who have great personalities and that are driven to be good. So that's just kind of our mindset is there's a lot. And I'll tell you this, our players have done a really good job of obviously selling our program and the visions that we have. And it's a lot easier to recruit offensive linemen when you have success. And we've had some guys that made, I think we had three guys made all conference. And, you know, we've had some guys have success. And those guys also that are good players for us right now also do a phenomenal job of recruiting.
This offensive line has come so far, such a big part of that team that went bowling last year. Last year, you averaged about 320 up front, mm-hmm. which is just light years from where you were when you got here. But you talked about the center position mm-hmm. and how you got to be a coach on the field. And you really kind of hit the lottery with the center that you brought in before last season in Jacob Bear. He reminds us so much of Jacob Still, mm-hmm. who was an all-conference player here, and just how the players kind of gravitate toward him, how he's a coach on the field, how he's the anchor of that offensive line. Yeah. How much has he meant to your group?
A lot. Jacob Bear is a lottery, and obviously I want to be able to recruit more players like him, but you ain't going to coach a lot of guys like him now. You know, the one thing that I appreciate about Jacob and what he's done is when he first got here, he didn't say much. He just wanted to work and show the team that, hey, I'm going to succeed on the field by the way I work. Still remember, he'll go get spring practice, he'll go get dinner, and he'll come back in the O-line room, and he's literally grading everybody. Wow. And this is at like 11 o'clock now at night. And that's who Jacob is he works extremely hard, very smart, very tough, great teammate. And he's a great leader, and he pushes not just our offensive line group, but the entire team. And I think the world of them. And I'm just grateful that we have somebody like Jacob. But it's the reason why also it helps the young guys, because now the young guys are seeing a play like Jacob and what it's supposed to look like. So that's been the cool thing for me to see, like Mason Myers grow and how Walker Davis is growing. So that's been really good. And not only Jacob, but our older guys in the room has done a really good job of helping the newcomers or freshmen that are here right now.
Every coach I've ever been around, and I don't mean football, I'm talking about across the sports, I bet I could count on one hand. I guarantee I could count on one hand the number of times I've heard a coach publicly say that so-and-so is their team's best player. That's just usually not something they put on somebody, even if the whole world knows you got a best player. Mm. The one time I know I've heard it is I heard Butch Jones stand in front of a group of fans going into last season and say, Jacob Bear is our best player. Mm. So, like, not as his coach, but even as old offensive lineman yourself, as a center yourself, what's it like to know that the coach goes out and tells people publicly that the center is the best player on the team?
This is a cool thing about our room, and I think Coach Jones says this all the time. Your position group is going to take on your personality as a coach. So why am I saying that? Because even, obviously, all the kids look at the social media and we send those things out to recruits to see. But, you know, Jake, even when Jake heard those things and how good he is the most humble human being, right, and that I've ever known and that I've ever coached. And it's good, but I say this all the time to the guys in the room. We still got a long way to go. And, you know, it's about improving. And, and those guys, the McKeelan Thomases, the Jacob Bears and Makai Butlers, they just keep working. They don't listen to the hype, none of that. They just keep working. And, you know, that's just kind of the standard that we have in our team and in our position group as well.
Yeah, and obviously a very scary moment in spring practice with mm-hmm. him going down with the torn ACL. But by every account, he is ahead of schedule and mm-hmm. planning to be back very soon.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. I mean, he stayed here in the month of May, and he just grinded. And you know, he goes to treatment every single day. It's almost to the point where, like, even on the weekends, you almost got to be like, hey, you got to chill out a little bit. But that's just who he is. That's who Jacob Bayer is. And, you know, he's doing well. He looks really good, upper body and all that. He's lost some weight, so he looks really good right now, and he needs to just continue to work on trusting the process, and, you know, he'll be ready for us at some point.
And I want to ask one more thing, Jacob, related here, because you had a moment the final game of the regular season last year. We're at Marshall, and Coach Jones never calls me the morning of the game, but he said, hey, here's what's going on. Yeah. Well, Jacob had gone to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. He couldn't play mm-hmm. that day. Mm-hmm. He's the anchor of your offensive line. How much of a challenge was that, trying to get McKeelan Thomas yeah. ready to go over and play a position he hasn't played?
Yeah, it was definitely a huge challenge. I think it was 3:00 in the morning, and Eric called me and Jacob called me and said that, you know, I guess it's gotten worse and he probably won't be able to go, but yeah, you know, again, it just speaks volumes of just kind of how our program is. And McKeelan was ready to go, right? Nothing really phases McKeelan. And as an O-line coach, you always want guys, you want as much as guys in the room that can snap the ball. So mm-hmm. we had a whole plan of that. And McKeelan always takes reps at center at certain points and they're an individual and all that. So he did a really good job. And, you know, we obviously definitely missed him that night. But I thought the group did an okay job. And I think as a coach, I got to do a better job of preparing other guys to be ready for those situations. But what I appreciated the group was they were ready to go. They weren't worried and all that. So it was good.
It kind of segues here. And I should ask this a long time ago about offensive linemen in general. Because, listen, it's not a cliche or coach speak. I mean, you just can't be a good football team if you're not good up front.
Oh, no doubt.
You just can't.
No doubt.
Yet, when the game is over and people are combing through the stats, the only dudes that don't really have one attached to them are the guys up front.
Yeah.
How do you got to be wired to deal with that, to know that your job is to get other guys' numbers?
Yeah, it's crazy you say that because I met with the guys yesterday and I told them, up front, if the five guys don't go, we ain't got a shot. The receiver or the tight end or whoever it is, they can go out there and run a wrong route, and the play still could have a chance to be successful. But up front, if you're 4 for 5, the play's done. And that's the biggest thing that we have instilled. And again, the leadership aspect, when we talked about it earlier, is what's been really cool for me is to see Jacob and Makai and McKeelan leading the group. And there's a standard to it. And if guys are not doing what they're supposed to do, we don't say, okay, if somebody makes a mistake, we don't say, oh, you'll get it right the next time. That ain't good. You better get it done now. That's been the cool thing for me to see as an entire group. And the coolest thing, for you talk about getting recognition and not saying that we need recognition, but Coach Jones had a team meeting. And this was, I think, the day before of the all-conference teams. And Coach was talking about just of all the previous game and all that. And he sits there and in front of the entire team. And he says, Jacob Bear, your first team all-conference. And Jacob Bear is just smiling because that's one of his goals that he had. And then the cool thing was he pointed at McKeelan. So your second team all conference, and McKeelan is looking back like, me? Like, yeah. That was a really cool thing. And again, going back to what I said, I always tell my players I was 2-time all conference. So I can tell you how to do things and as an offensive line. And obviously I went to congratulate those guys. And Jacob Bear comes out to me and says, hey, Coach, just so you know, my junior year, I was first team all conference, but your junior year, you're second team all conference. I'm like, oh, you must have looked at my stats. So that's the first thing that Jacob Bear said to me. And, you know, it was a pretty cool moment. And obviously, those guys wouldn't be able to accomplish those things if they didn't have the guys next to them that play well too.
And we talk about getting bigger and stronger, but you've added depth to your group. And that's something that you really didn't have at the beginning either. But you talk about guys like McKeelan, talk about Makai Butler, Jacob Bear. Mark Taylor from Sports Information sent me this stat the other day, and I can't remember this much experience coming back. But the offensive line enters this season with a combined 192 career games played and 103 career starts. I can't imagine there's too many teams in the country that can say that.
Shout out to Mark Taylor, because Mark Taylor does a great job of getting these stats for me. And I actually talked about that with the group yesterday after our workouts. And it's good, but, you know, I still – the reason why I share that stat to the offensive line group is we are an experienced group. So what does that mean? We have to run the team, just like you talked about. Like the offensive line group, if you don't have a good offensive line, you're not going to succeed on as a team. But that's what we talked about as a group, about just the experience we have. And there should be no excuses for not knowing who to block, not communicating. Mm-hmm. So none of that stuff. So it's been good, and we got experience. But I think there's been a lot of guys that are in the two to three deep that have done a good job of continuing to develop. And again, it just, you know, we have to continue to develop those players. And even the newcomers, some of these guys got to be ready to play. Again, it's about continuing to build depth in the offensive line.
It's got to be fun to have a Zach Wallace and a Jaquez Cross Hawkins, Jalen Rayner, all running behind your group too.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you this, those guys make us look good. And I think Coach Heck was talking about this a little bit in the previous podcast. When you have a quarterback that has a threat to run the ball, okay, it has a, I guess, complete new different phase in your offense. And obviously having Jalen has allowed us to be able to run the ball a lot better by handing it to the back. And you know, it's been good. And I think those backs, you know, I was talking to Cross yesterday and Zach Wallace about how much they've gotten better, and we need to continue to get better. But also the running backs are super tight with the O-line. So, like, I remember, like Cross brought in, like, Krispy Kreme donuts, like, in the spring. I said, that's not what they need. But there is a huge connection and a relationship there. And, you know, those guys have done a really good job.
So, for you, if I'm telling you you're going to win the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, would you rather have seen the offense throw for 400 or run for two?
I'll tell you this. I just want to win. Whatever helps us get that W is all I care about. But you got to be able to run the football to win the game now. You know, I just rather win. That's all I care about.
You're probably going to be feeling better, though, if you're running for two.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, you feel good. But also, it's like, you know, obviously we had some games last year where we were able to run, you know, 200s and all that. And there's one game it's just a culture that we have on our team. And Jacob Bear and McKeelan comes up to me after the Texas State game. He's like, man, Coach, we should have had 300. We should have put three bills on these guys.
Well, they weren't on the field.
I know. All right, shout out to the defense. But it's been, again, just about winning. As long as we get a W, I'm good.
Man, you've had quite a four-year run here in Jonesboro. And we've been talking about all this on-the-field stuff, but you've started a family here.
I did. And when Coach Jones told me to come to Arkansas State, I didn't know anything about Jonesboro, Arkansas. It's been a great place to live, and I think it's a great place to raise a family. The people here are phenomenal. I mean, I go to Kroger, and the guy out front, I forgot what his name was, I'm sorry, but Coach Quan, how you doing? That's what you feel here. Obviously, we had our son May 4th, so he is a Star Wars baby. May the 4th be with you.
Love it.
He is about 2 months, maybe a little bit over 2 months, and you know, he's been great, and it's been great being a dad. But not only that, I've had tremendous support from our football coaches to the players, and even just the athletic administration. They've been super supportive. So it's been good. We're going to get my son. He's going to start going to youth camp next year at 1 year old.
Yeah.
It started with the free one at the spring game.
Yeah.
Dip your toes in there.
Yeah, I was kind of mad when we had our kids camp this year. I think he was a month old. And I told my wife, what are we doing? He should be out here on the field. Come on now.
Because, and not to break confidences, but you told this right before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
You said having a son made you soft for about 2 weeks.
I did. Yeah, I did. Sure, I did. I was soft for 2 weeks. I was really, how do I say it? You know, some of the guys were, whatever, making mistakes on the field. But, man, it's okay. We'll get it the next time. And I think what happened was something happened where I had to get something done in the football, my work and all that. And it still ended up going well. It was something about recruiting. It ended up going well, and I just kind of got that fire back. And I'll be honest with you. I still got that fire right now. So you make a mistake, the guys are front, they're going to hear from me.
So we talked a lot about it. I mean, Coach Jones, your path here. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'd be interested to hear. If we've got fans out there to this point, is still maybe their only exposure to Coach Jones is watching him in a game.
Mm-hmm.
What are they missing out on?
They're missing out on a man that's very caring and loving. I mean, obviously, I think us as coaches being former players, and we're very competitive. But the one thing about Coach Jones that I've always appreciated is how much he cares about people. And I can say this, and there's not a lot of coaches that are like that, just because the competitiveness in this profession. But Coach Jones has just so much love for people. You know, he obviously holds us accountable. Not only does he hold the players accountable, he holds the coaches accountable. He should. This is a program. I've gotten so much better as a coach and as a human being with Coach Jones. And, you know, that's one. And the other fact is he loves chips. So, like, that's like his go-to snack. He just, like, there's like these chips in Michigan that he gets. So he loves chips, and he likes to steal my sparkling water. So, which is okay. When you're the head coach, you can take whatever you want.
You can do that, yeah.
Yeah, so.
He's just a good guy, though.
Great guy.
We've really, really enjoyed getting to know him the last few years. And, man, we're excited you're here and doing everything you're doing. And I can say this genuinely. We're really fired up about this year. This should be a really fun year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's a lot of energy right now in our program and just, I think, our community. But still, we still got to be able to do what we're supposed to do to be able to accomplish those things. And I've seen, again, just the leadership aspect and the care of doing things the right way on and off the field has been good. And, you know, we just need to continue to trust the process. And we still have a long way to go as an entire team. I think every coach would say that. But we have really good kids that love football and they love Arkansas State. So I'm really excited as well. And I'm going to Michigan today for vacation, and I'll be back on Sunday. So I got this itch right now to get back. So I can't wait for Sunday to be back, and Monday we'll roll.
Thanks for coming in, man.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Before we end this, I also have to thank you guys. I think what you guys do for Arkansas State, and I say this again, just the people that are involved in our athletic program, Mark Taylor, what you guys do, Jerry, I use what you guys do to send out to our recruits. It makes our jobs a lot easier, and again, I appreciate you guys for what you guys do for us and our community, and you know, hopefully I'll be invited back next time. And I probably will bring my son next time so he can start speaking. Because he's going to start talking at 8 months. So we're trying to speed this whole thing up of his development, because I want him to play left tackle.
That's Andy Kwan joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. It's Sunbelt Media Days this week in New Orleans. That always kind of signals the start to football season. You know that practice is going to be right around the corner, with the players officially reporting, even though they're already here. We're going to have several representatives from Arkansas State in New Orleans. Now, the Eastern Division teams, the head coaches and the student athletes, they go on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, A-State, along with the rest of the Western Division teams, will be making the rounds. And Coach Butch Jones obviously will be there, but the other representatives being Jalen Rayner and Char Willekes. And if I had to pick who I thought was going to represent Arkansas State beforehand, I would have said, well, probably Jalen Rayner and Char Wilkes. So
yeah.
I don't think you can think of two better guys to go and represent the Red Wolves.
Yeah, that'd be Wednesday's the West Day, and I know you guys on the air will have, you know, sort of wall-to-wall coverage like usual, and saw the conference put out some of their stuff with a couple of different ESPN Plus feeds this time, where they're going to have just uninterrupted coverage from the main stage, and so people go looking for that at 2 o'clock Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is our time on the main stage.
And you mentioned the coverage on the Ticket Radio Network. We'll be on the air a 7-hour window, 7 to 2, both Tuesday and Wednesday. So looking forward to that. How great was Andy Kwan? That was a fun visit.
Yeah, hot streak continues. We're on a heater.
We really are. Kind of takes me back to our visit with Keith Heckendorf a few weeks ago, and now visiting with Coach Kwan and our discussion both on and off the air. It can't help but fire you up. We've seen this team go from completely rebuilding when Coach Jones got here. He's taken the long road to do it,
right,
but he's doing it his way, going from 2 wins to 3 wins to 6 wins and a bowl game last year, and now the expectations go up even more this year. And you can tell that there's a confidence and a feeling around the building that this is going to be a good season.
Well, how about this for fun with numbers? So the second win, right, when you go from 2 wins, you're laying, you know, the kind of the groundwork. Well, 3 wins, you only had the one, so it went up, right? So you only had, we won more games this year than last year. Well, you go to 6, now you say, well, we won more games than the previous 2 years combined. Well, to keep that trend going, now the number you have to beat is 11. So to win more games than one of the last 3 years combined, go undefeated or maybe drop a game somewhere and you'll get to a bowl. So, yeah, the math just tells you that 12 is probably the number. One more than every year combined. Every year. Every year they've gone one more than the years before it combined, from 2 to 3, from 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So now you go from 11 to 12. Makes sense. It's just math. 12 wins coming your way.
Fun episode. Again, thanks to Andy Kwan for coming in and Jerry Scott for helping to set that up for us. Always appreciate you guys listening. Tell your friends about it. Tell them to subscribe to the Second to None podcast. And who knows who we'll be visiting with next week on our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group.